scripture reading this morning will be from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. That's 2 Peter 1, 1 through 3. And Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have attained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue.
Thank you, Brother David, for that reading from the Word of God in 2 Peter 1, which causes us to focus on the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fact that he, God, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We're not lacking in that department. God has provided what we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, through the knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. May God bless you for being in our assembly today. We're so very happy that you're here. We hope that you came with a mind to think about the things of God today in your presenting your worship to him and the sacrifices of your heart to him through song and prayer and looking into his word. We're so very happy that you are here to do that with us. People who are in the engineering world, who go to school and study about manufacturing facilities and industrial complexes of our nation, and how to make those places safe for the people who work there so that they will not be harmed or lose their lives in an accident, study very serious and important subjects. And if they take courses in industrial safety and manufacturing safety, the course syllabus, as well as the instructor, as the course begins, urge each of the students in the class to come to the class meetings, read all of the material, perform all of the assignments that they are assigned, so that when they leave that class, they will eventually be able to graduate with a degree and go on to find jobs in the field of industrial safety. And having retained the information that they learned in the class and having been able to perform activities to allow them to identify hazardous conditions in the workplace, they could, by their work, prevent someone from being hurt or killed. And so it's a very important thing. Even more important than that, though, is that all men should study the revelation of the God in heaven in order to prevent themselves and others who will listen to them from being spiritually hurt or spiritually killed. That's the greatest kind of need. And so this morning, I'd like especially for our young people to be thinking with us on this subject of know your Bible. And the reason I specifically mention the young people is because you're in a unique position. The school where you go and the students that you associate with are going to ask you at some point in your schooling questions of a spiritual nature. Why do you believe in God? What does the Bible say about this or that? What can you tell me about God and who he is and what he does? Now, what are you going to say when those questions come to you? How are you going to answer them? Why is it wrong to talk ugly? What are you going to say to them when they ask you that? You need to tell them what God says to you. You need to let them know that you are familiar with the one book that the one God has given to everyone. And you know what it says. 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 books of the New Testament, 66 books altogether in one complete book. And for our purposes this morning, setting forth primarily four principal and great truths. And those principal and great truths are the reality of creation, the sovereignty of God, the everlasting nature of Christ, and man's freedom of choice, but also his accountability before God for the choices that he makes. Let's look at the reality of creation. Briefly, all evidences that are available fully support what God has told us about how this world was created in literal 24-hour days of creation. How can this be true? How can it be true? And that may be a question that you're faced with by some of your classmates. How can that be true? Can anything be brought into existence from nothing? It can if God is there, and God does it. Man does not know how. And it's foolish for man to come up with his own ideas of how that could have happened, because God doesn't tell us. But this one thing we do know your Bible. This one thing we do know, Hebrews 11 and verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Now, there's your answer to that question, and you need to know where that is in your Bible, because you are going to be asked something about creation. If you haven't been already, you will be. That is a great truth that's revealed to us in the Bible. And also, the sovereignty of God. Who is He? Does He have a right to command anything of man? God demands explicit obedience in His Word. Scripture after Scripture is available for us to be able to answer a question of that nature. But there is one example that can be used, that you can be familiar with, to show how God feels about what men do in service to Him. In Leviticus 10, verses 1 through 3, a short section of Scripture, but one that tells us something very, very important. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord. Now, what categorizes that fire as strange fire in their fire pans? He tells us next, which he had not commanded them. They were using fire that had not been commanded them to use. Okay, let's see what happens next in verse 2. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "It is what the Lord spoke, saying, 'By those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. And before all the people, I will be honored.' So Aaron, therefore, kept silent." Now, that's a passage of Scripture that will take you a long way when your classmates ask you questions about why you do what you do religiously. Why do you think it's necessary to be in church every Sunday? Why do you think that? The sovereignty of God. Also, the Bible has another significant great truth for us. Christ was with God from the beginning. From the beginning of the history of man, Christ was with God already. Christ is something more than a mere man. Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17 says this, "For by Him," that is by Christ, "all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." Jesus Christ and God are one John said in his gospel in John 10 and verse 30, one in essential unity, not meaning one in the same person, but one in essential unity. The Old Testament begins with Christ as the Word of God, who was with God, who was God. And John goes on to tell us in his gospel that he became flesh and dwelt among men. In John 1, and the New Testament ends with Christ, the author of our salvation. The very last few verses in your Bible talk about Jesus Christ. He was with God from the beginning. It's important for you to know that. He had a hand in the powerful creation of this universe, of everything, visible and invisible. The other fourth great truth of the Bible is that man's freedom of choice and accountability is presented to us in God's Word. God does not force anyone to obey Him. People have the freedom of choice. But let the one who wishes to take of the water of life without cost. Revelation 22 and verse 17. Each one then must give an account to God for his choice. Because the Bible says in Romans 14, beginning in verse 11, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. And so when you behave yourself at school in a way that shows that you have restraint, that you want to follow the rules, and people who don't want to follow the rules say, why are you following the rules? You can share with them that you have some accountability. You're accountable for what you do. And it may help them in their lives. Because of this one book of the one God, God's revelation of himself to man, man must know and obey God. One of the supreme aims of the Bible is to make the true God known to man. We can know who this great God is. God makes himself known to man so that we can know his nature. We can know the nature of man, since he's made in the likeness of his creator. Psalm 46 and verse 10, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Christ came in the world to declare the Father, to explain God to men, John said in his gospel, chapter 1 and verse 18. And Jesus said in that same gospel in chapter 14 and verse 9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He demonstrated God in the form of man. God revealed himself through Jesus Christ by his works of creation. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. God revealed himself to man through Christ, not only through the works of creation, but also by his wonderful miracles. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, Moses wrote in Exodus chapter 7, verse 5. When I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from their midst. And you know the Bible story. That's exactly what Moses did. In verse 17 of that Exodus 7 chapter, thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the water that is in the Nile with the staff that is in my hand, and it will be turned to blood. And that's exactly what happened, wasn't it? By means of his miracles, you know who the real, true, and living God is. By his rule over men and nations, you know who he is. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 47, the king answered Daniel and said, surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries since you have been able to read this mystery. Matthew 28:18. Jesus declared in that passage that all authority has been given to him. Authority in heaven and authority on the earth as well. His rule over men and nations indicates to us that God has revealed himself fully and completely. God has revealed himself in his perfect word, the Holy Scriptures, because John wrote in John 5:24 that Jesus said, "Truly, truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." And what a great blessing that is from the true and living God. Don't you agree? We need to realize that there are two sides to God's nature, though. He is both merciful and just. Too many people see only 1 John 4:8, God is love. And that's all they want to see. And that's what they're going to talk to you about. The God that I think you serve is a God who loves everyone and would punish no one. We must also see that he is a God of vengeance upon the evildoer. And you need to show your friends where that is in the Bible so they can read it for themselves. Hebrews 10:30, beginning, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.'" And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's in Hebrews 10:30-31. Know where that passage is. It will be helpful to you. He is the God of mercy and justice. He is the God of goodness. To be sure, he is a God of goodness. He is also a God of wrath. What is God like? What kind of God do we worship? We must not think of him only as a God of love or only as a God of vengeance. Our worship and our service would be wrong if we thought of God only in either of those two ways. Therefore, it's very important to know what the true God is like. And the only way we know that for sure is to look in his word and see what he says about himself. There's a central message in this one book. The supreme aim of this book of God is to make God known to man in order that man can understand his relationship to the Creator and achieve the divine purpose of his Maker and his Redeemer. Salvation is in Christ. That is the theme of the Old Testament through prophecies, and also the theme of the New Testament more in a more pronounced way in the New Testament, in a clearer way. "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Revelation 19:10, Paul gave up everything to know about Jesus Christ and through him attain unto the resurrection of the dead, he told the Philippians. In Philippians 3:10-11, all must attain to the knowledge of the Son of God. In Ephesians 4:13, through which he has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, Peter said in our text for the sermon this morning, 2 Peter 1:3. This perfect saving knowledge is the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. For the Jew first and also the Gentile is the idea in Romans 1:16. The Word of God is the way of life. The supreme attainment of life is to know God. The noblest purpose of life that we can possibly have is to glorify God. The worthiest aim to please our Creator. The greatest achievement of life is to be God-like, as far as it is humanly possible to be God-like. The greatest need of life is to have an obedient faith in Jesus Christ and in God. The highest goal of life is to be with God forever, after this short, short life is over. Man's most valuable possession is his soul. The most coveted prize is the crown of life, which God will give to all who have fought the good fight, finished the course, and kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Christ came into the world to bring these blessings to all, and to make these aspirations and these desires available to all, young and old, wise and unwise, rich and poor, educated and uneducated. Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10. He brought God down to man so that man could see what God is really like, and bring men to God forever in the heavenly places. Therefore, he can say, Jesus can say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John 14 and verse 6. Know your Bible. Know it. Learn it. It won't happen overnight. It won't happen in a short period of time, but you will know it better and better if you live with it, you stay with it, if you don't give up. Learn something. Learn some little something every day that will help you, and help you with other people, because they're going to come to you and ask you, what is your life about? And you need to tell them. Know your Bible. Why? First reason is, know your Bible to know the greatest book that's ever been written. You may have English teachers at school that extol how wonderful all of these books written by men are, and you should enjoy them and read them and gain the wealth that is there for you to understand. And I understand that. That's okay. But the greatest book that has ever been written is God's book. The Bible is the best book because God is its author. Now, some 40 men actually took the pen to the parchment and wrote with ink, but there's only one author of that book. All the writers were moved by the Holy Spirit, Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 21. All Scripture is inspired by God, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. No other book can compare with God's book. It is truly God's book. Know your Bible so that you will know who you are. Who am I in this life? Why am I here? Who am I really? Only from the Bible can you know your origin, where you came from, what your mission in life is, and what your destiny is, and why. Know your Bible. Why are you here? Where are you going? The Bible has the answer. And it's the true answer. You're not a product of evolution. You're a product of divine creation. God made man in His image, Genesis 1 and verse 27, and Genesis 9 and verse 6. And man became a morally responsible living being, the record says in Genesis 2 and verse 7. Our mission is to glorify God and to become God-like as possible, as humanly possible, in preparation for a time that we're going to be examined by our Creator. We're going to be judged by our Creator. We have a personal accountability to God. Each one of us will give an account of himself to God, Romans 14 and verse 12. Know your Bible to be saved from sin. It has the ability to take you from the depths of immorality in this life to the heights of moral purity. God's Word does that. be saved from sin, the practice of sin, the consequences of sin, and the great awful penalty of sin that the Bible so clearly tells us about. The Bible is the only book that has as its main message the salvation that is available in God, the salvation of sinners. The Bible alone answers the world's greatest question, what must I do to be saved? The Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, 1 John 4 and verse 14. He saves sinners by His gospel, which is the power of God for salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. Hebrews 5 and verse 9, He became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal salvation. And therefore Jesus told His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Know your Bible in order to have everlasting life. In praying to the Father, Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." John 17 and verse 3. The Bible is the only source of that perfect knowledge about who Jesus Christ is and what your relation to Him should be. Know your Bible in order to identify the church which Jesus built, the one that belongs to Him, and know its importance. When one obeys the gospel by being baptized into Christ, he is born again. He is born of water and of the Spirit, as Jesus talked about with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. He's born into the family of God, as Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 3 and verse 15. This is the spiritual body of Christ, the church over which Jesus Christ is head. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Christ has only one body in Ephesians 4 and verse 4, and that body is identified as the church in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. In the New Testament, members of the body were called Christians in Acts 11 and verse 26. Salvation was available in no other name. There is salvation in no one else. Acts 4 and verse 12. Know your Bible to be able to identify the Lord's church and know how important it is to be a part of it. Know your Bible to find the way of life, the way of worship, and the way of service to the Creator of this universe. The inspired Scriptures are the only doctrine of Christ's church, the only teaching that should be accepted. Unfortunately, other teachings of men are accepted. They should be excluded. The Bible tells us very carefully how important it is for us to abide only in the doctrine of Christ. The Scriptures alone teach and correct and train us in the way we should go before God, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. The inspired Word instructs us. We should be receptive to that instruction. We should gladly hear that teaching. It instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Titus 2 and verse 12. Know your Bible. Know your Bible in order to reach the highest goal that you can possibly reach, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3 and verse 14. Paul counted all things but loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, Philippians 3 and verse 8. The knowledge that enabled him to gain Christ and be found in him, having a righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, to know him, to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul tells the Philippians, resurrection from the dead. We should strive to be like Paul, who near the time of his departure from this life could say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Very important as an example to us. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Know your Bible, because in knowing it, you will love his appearing. I hope that the things that we've talked about today have been helpful to you. I know that if I were at your age, they would have been helpful to me had I heard those words and those admonitions from a gospel preacher somewhere. I know that it would have helped me. I want to close with an interesting statement that I've found about the Bible. Listen very carefully to it and see if it's not right. This book, talking about the Bible, this book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. Its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. And practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand object. Our good is its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly and frequently and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. It is given you in life. It will be opened in the judgment. And it will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. That's a mouthful, isn't it? The Bible, the book of God. Know it. Know it. It'll bless your life. It'll take you from this sorry, wicked, sinful world, all the way to the gates of heaven, if you let it. If you let it. Will you let it today? Can we help you today to be right with God if you're not already? Are you a Christian? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do you do those things that He's commanded you to do, to have the forgiveness of your sins and be pure in His sight? We can help you with that today if that's really your desire. As a believer, will you confess Christ before this multitude? Will you repent of sins? Will you be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins as the Bible teaches? Can we help you do that today? If we can, please come to the front and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song. May God bless you.